I'm Celeste Headlee. This is On Second Thought. A few months ago, after a lot of debate, New Orleans removed a statue of Robert E. Lee. But when you travel across Georgia, you'll see many other Confederate monuments still standing proudly. Supporters often say those monuments are about history. But a new study raises questions about that. The study analyzed 2004 data from Georgia State University. Researcher Spencer Piston of Boston University helped review that data and found many people who support the display of Confederate flags lack basic knowledge of the Civil War. For example, via Skype, Piston told us most of the people surveyed could not name a single Civil War battle or identify Union General William Tecumseh Sherman.
White people who are more knowledgeable about the Civil War are less supportive on average of Confederate symbols, such as the Confederate battle emblem. We did not expect to find that. We thought it might be the case that there's something to this sort of pride in the history of the South.
That study raises a larger question about the role of historians in explaining the Civil War. For that, we welcome Civil War historian Kevin Levin. He joins us from Massachusetts. Hi, Kevin.
Hi. Nice to be here.
Good to have you. And also with us is Dinah Ramey Berry. She's a professor of history and African diaspora studies at the University of Texas at Austin. Hi, Dinah.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm doing well. Dinah, what do you take away? Let me start there. What do you take away from this study that showed a surprising correlation between a lack of knowledge of Civil War history and then support for flying the Confederate battle flag?
You know, I was surprised by some parts of the study and other parts I wasn't, because we kind of had gone down this route in Texas when we were looking at the University of Texas's Confederate statues. And we had several public conversations. And in those conversations, there were a number of people that knew details about battles, but they didn't necessarily look at the larger perspective of the war and the history of the war and the outcomes of the war, which, as your quote earlier stated from the Atlanta History Center president, 4 million African Americans received their freedom as a result of the South losing the war.
And then let me go then to you, Kevin. Were you surprised, as so many people were, by the results of this?
You know, not so much. I think one thing to keep in mind is that quite often people who identify with Confederate iconography, whether it's the flag or with monuments, often tend to filter it through a sort of contemporary or modern day political agenda. So one thing to keep in mind is that the monuments themselves, the symbolism is not always about history. In fact, it might more often be about present-day politics, concerns about race, things like that. So there's two things going on here, I think.
We have a tweet from Edwin Austin Hall who said, Sherman's the one who looks like the grumpy uncle of someone you once knew without remembering how. Fair enough. But Dinah, to what extent is this a failure of our educational system? There are people who can't even remember who were fighting in the Civil War. They can't even remember North versus South. So are we simply forgetting our own history, or is it not being taught?
I think it's a couple things. One, I think that the history that has been taught in the past has been not so balanced, for lack of a better phrase. So even the classes I teach, when I teach history, American history, African American history, half my class is sitting there for the majority of the semester saying, well, we never learned this. We never were told this part of the story. We were never told this half of American history. Why don't we know about African Americans who were forced to go to the Civil War with their Confederate enslavers? Why were we not told about that and then them dragging them back and saving them during different battles? How come this history hasn't been included? So I think it's really a part of looking at history to include all groups and the full context of American history, so that we're not just telling one side of the story or showing this celebratory history that we often try to do when we talk about American history.
So let's play a clip of a video taken on the campus of Texas Tech University in 2014. In this, for this project, they asked students on campus questions about history and politics. So here's some of the responses when they were asked about the Civil War.
We did? The South?
Like the one in 1965? What Civil War?
Who won it?
Who was even in it?
Who was in it? Just tell me who was in it.
Ooh, I don't know.
America? I don't know.
That's the Confederates, right?
Okay, so Kevin, I don't even know where to start with this. These are not stupid students. These are many of them studying medicine at Texas Tech University, but don't know who was in the war, let alone who won it. How do we address that?
Well, I'm a little, always a little bit suspicious at these sort of, you know, these attempts to sort of, you know, these gotcha moments, you know, on the streets. And so it is disturbing on the one hand, no doubt. I do think we should take a step back and sort of acknowledge that over the last few decades, you know, we have seen a significant transformation in terms of, you know, how the Civil War is taught in the classrooms, even the high school classroom. Certainly we have a ways to go. But a lot of the myths that were taught a few decades ago, you know, you'll no longer find, at least not as many in the textbooks that we're using. We also have, of course, the internet as a resource, which is both a positive and a negative. So, you know, I think certainly, you know, we can express some concern about the interviews, but I also think that we need to acknowledge, and I think this helps explain why the monuments and the flag is so divisive right now, and that is because, you know, we have seen a shift in how Americans are willing to think about and remember this divisive moment in our history.
All right, so Dinah, to what extent is this, and you alluded to this already, but I want to go at it specifically. To what extent is this a result of the fact that there was a different telling of the history of the Civil War in the South as opposed to many places in the North? In other words, the fact that the war is still often called the War of Northern Aggression in the South, or that they have often portrayed it as not about slavery, but about states' rights. Has that complicated Americans' knowledge of the facts?
I think it has. And also, I think because there are all these public symbols, when you drive across the state of Georgia or many of the southern states, you'll see monuments, you'll see historical markers that are often identifying Confederate generals or battles or different parts of that history. So I think that's part of the challenge. You don't see those same figures as often in northern states. The other challenge is just understanding the whole history and how it's taught. And I think that's what, you know, Kevin's getting at, that we're in a place where we're now starting to talk about this. This really came to a head in 2015 with the killing of the murder of the 9 African-Americans at the church in South Carolina, Emmanuel AME Church in South Carolina by Dylann Roof. And I think that's one of the catalysts that brought this conversation back up. It was in 2015 that then the state of Georgia stopped officially celebrating Confederate Memorial Day. And so I think because of that, we saw the connection between the hate that comes with some of this celebratory language and also the larger history that this comes out of.
And yet, Kevin, you say that when a community is trying to decide whether to move a monument or take a monument down, you say maybe don't ask historians about that. Why?
Well, I certainly think that historians have a role to play in explaining the historical context of these monuments. Most people don't have a firm grasp of the fact that, you know, the vast majority of Confederate monuments went up at the height of Jim Crow. So this is a point when, you know, especially African Americans certainly did not have a voice in the kinds of public discussions that, you know, that sort of shaped the commemorative landscape. In other words, what was remembered and what was not remembered. So I think historians have that role. They can play that role, and they should. But ultimately, these are, you know, discussions about the broader community, right? You know, it was the broader community that chose to erect a monument at a certain time, and it's the community that ultimately has to decide, you know, whether or not a monument is going to be relocated or removed entirely. And so, again, historians have a role to play. But I think historians are quite often tied to seeing monuments as artifacts that we want to sort of, we want to maintain them so we can use them for education purposes. And I certainly have done so with my students and the public at large. But that, of course, you know, has to be placed next to the experience of having to wake up and walk by these monuments and feel as if you are not equal or that you are not welcome in your own community.
And Dinah, this actually became very clear to you. I understand that you, for a while, refrained from talking publicly about your work on the task force dealing with monuments in Texas because someone wrote it in a local newspaper, a threat?
Yes. They threatened to chain myself and other African-American members of the task force to the Jefferson Davis statue and let us sit and let bird poop fall all over us or something like that. I can't remember the exact quote. And that was mild, and we got other threats. That's to be expected. But I also refrained because I refrained from talking about it because I felt like this was a conversation that really needed to involve the context, like Kevin is saying, the historical context. And people pick the small pieces of or sound bites of the history that they want to remember and are not willing to talk about the larger history. So if I mention enslaved people or I talk about monuments for enslaved people, people will say to me, oh, well, that's a really difficult and uncomfortable part of our history. And for some people, so is the Civil War.
So then what are we to do, Kevin, going forward, especially in evaluating, you know, that Georgia still celebrates Robert E. Lee's birthday, for example. Mm-hmm. How are we to decide what to do with these monuments and what to do about our sort of glaring lack of knowledge about our own history?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I don't I'm not going to pretend that I have an answer, because in part, I don't think there really is an answer. Certainly the shootings in Charleston in the summer of 2015, you know, functioned as the most recent catalyst for this debate. And I think it's safe to say that the last few years, I can't really think of a previous time where it's been this divisive. But you can go back to, you know, for example, the dedication of the Lee Monument in Richmond in 1890, and the editor of a black newspaper, John Mitchell, wrote very clearly. He said the black man was there to put up the monument, and at some point he will be there to tear it down. I'm sort of paraphrasing, but I'm pretty close to his words. I think these are organic discussions. I think that this is part of what it means to live in a democracy. And I think we're now at a time, you know, coming out of the civil rights movement, where people who are barred from engaging in these public discussions now have a voice through their local city councils. And I think this is actually healthy. I think it reflects sort of where we are as a nation, as a community, in terms of thinking about the Civil War. I'm actually encouraged in many ways by this discussion, although I do sort of worry about, you know, some of the more divisive, you know, elements in places like Charlottesville, where you have, you know, white supremacists marching and et cetera. And you've experienced it in Georgia as well. But overall, I think this is what needs to happen.
That is Civil War historian Kevin Levin. We also heard from Dinah Ramey Berry. She's a professor of history and African diaspora studies at the University of Texas at Austin. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.